Esther Batsara. So the whole series is dedicated to Esther Batsara, but there's also somebody here who has her mother's yard site today. So maybe some of the merit of today's learning could also go to
Stefania Bat Yaakov.
In general, just so that people know, in general, when we pray for somebody who's sick and still alive, yeah,
but
Gloria Bat Victoria. And Moshe Ben Lili.
Chaim
Yosef Ben Esther. Any other refuah shleimas for today? Rachel Bat Rivka and Lili Nishmash. Shimon Chaim Ben Avraham.
Tamara Bat
Eva. Mara bat Elba.
Bela bat Yocheved.
And Bela bat Yocheved. So let me just tell you, they should have a refuah shleima and an aliyat neshama.
Amen.
Did you have something to add?
Something else.
Avram
ben Luna.
Avram ben Luna for a refuah shleima.
Yes, please.
So when we pray for somebody who's still alive but sick, we use the mother's name, the matronymic. And when we pray for somebody who's dead, we use the patronymic, the father's name.
Svardim
don't?
No.
Oh, okay. Ashkenazim do. Okay. I don't know the Sephardic way. And if you don't know their name, or if you don't know part of their name, you can use Avraham and Sarah. So if you're not even sure, let's say you just totally forgot. You happen to be, let's say, in your later 40s, and you just completely forgot the name of that person that you care about, right? You blew it. So you could just say Sarah Batsara. Let's say you do remember their name. It's Evelyn, but you don't know her mother's name, so it's Evelyn Batsara. Right. Right, and same thing with Abraham, so that you could always say it that way if you don't know their name. Okay. We should all merit to have great memories, too. Okay, so we have an hour before lunch, and I understand that many people have to leave after lunch. So what I want to do is save, I wrote down questions that I want to be able to address, but I'm going to address them later, so that those people who are still here will be able to actually walk out with some kind of a document ready. So I want to do more of the Cheshbon HaNefesh, but I wanted to start right now by talking about your tafkid.
Your what?
Your tafkid. I think in order to do that, I do want to end this session, which will end at what time? 1:30? 1:30 or 1:40? I just want to know, like, okay, 1 hour. At the end of the session, I do want everybody to have a piece of paper that's nicely organized that they will be able to walk out with. It's not going to be perfect, but it'll be a start. In order to start talking about this piece of paper that I want you to have as a blueprint, we'll have on it your life goal. Not an immediate short-term goal, the essence of your life goal. And it will also have your major flaw. What gets in the way for you? That's called your tikkun. Your tikkun. No, we did not finish it. Oh, hang on, we're gonna... You didn't miss anything. You did not miss anything. I was asked to rearrange just a little bit because not everybody can stay for the afternoon. So I'm going to do a little bit more in the afternoon, but I just want to tell you what it's going to look like by the time we finish this hour, Be'ezrat Hashem. I'm going to give you, probably some of it will have to be homework, but we want to walk out of this hour with a document ready. In order to start that, I do want to do a drop more Cheshbon HaNefesh. We're not going to talk about tshuva right now. That's going to have to be afterwards, for whoever stays afterwards. But I want you to now do some thinking. This is the deeper Cheshbon HaNefesh, which we can't do a long time of. So it will have to be some homework, but you'll start thinking. Here are some character traits that I want you to start thinking about. How well have you done? How well do you assess yourself on these character traits? After we go through this list, then we're going to start talking about your life's purpose and how to figure that out. Okay, but first, I want you to get to know yourself.
Would you prefer it like that?
It's not written nicely for that. Nope, won't do the trick. Sorry. I like to make sheets for everybody, but this has to be your own writing.
Right.
Maybe I should make a form next time that people could fill out. It's a good idea. But I, you know, I don't have any, just so people should know, I don't have any pre-prepared talks. It's all about the group and the moment and how it works together. I know I want to do a cheshbon nefesh with you. I never did it like this exactly, with this, certainly with this group of women or in this period of time. So it's not like I have a sheet that I could just pull up, and I have to be able to go with questions that are here. Right, right. Nope, it's not that way. Right, nope, this is special for you. And you should also know that when I give a class, I daven that I should be able to give a class that gives the students, you, what you need to hear this time in your life. Not what I need to share, but what you need to hear. So Be'ezrat Hashem, it sometimes works out. So you should hear what you need to hear. If you're not, ask me later, but we do want to get through this hour so that we get this accomplished. Okay, so let's think about, let's start with simcha. How is your simcha level, your happiness level? How are you feeling about your level of happiness?
If a person is married with simcha, so that's simcha.
If you happen to be married to a husband named simcha, that's great. But you still need to think. Okay. We are. But this is a prerequisite.
I want to ask not to interrupt.
Okay.
Okay.
Because there's so much noise in here, I think we probably should just do hands for interruption for points of information. We are going to do tafkid. In order to do tafkid, in order to do life purpose, we just need to do a drop more looking at who we actually are. So this doesn't have to be the deepest, although it should be done deeply. But I want you just to think about these different qualities so that you'll be ready to start thinking about your life's journey. But first you need a little self-assessment. Okay, so this is self-assessment. Your level of simcha, how are you feeling about it? Do you feel like you need more simcha? Do you feel like you're too lively? Do you feel like your simcha is strong enough? Is it weak simcha? Anger, how are you feeling about your anger? Do you anger easily? Do you anger not easily enough? Do you anger over foolish things? Where is your level of anger? What do you direct it towards? Patience, how patient are you? Is that something you'd like to work on? Is that something that you'd like to avoid? In these things that I'm asking you, you don't have to work on everything. This is just to get to know you. Right now, you're not setting goals. You're just trying to get in touch a little bit with who you are on these levels. Just to know who you are. We don't always think about these things. So who are you for yourself? Love. What's your love level? Do you feel like you love your spouse? Love. Love. Do you love your spouse enough? Do you love yourself enough? Do you love your children enough? Do you love Hashem enough? Do you love your neighbors enough? Something to think about. Just how are you feeling about your love flow? Is there a block there? Is it very open and strong? It's self-knowledge. We're not doing goals now. Just self-knowledge. You should just know yourself. We're not doing goals right now. You're just thinking about yourself. Tolerance. Tolerance. How tolerant are you? Judgment. How much do you judge others? How much do you judge yourself? It's related to tolerance in a way. Because if you have more tolerance, you usually have less judgment. But not always. Related to tolerance is toleration. It's different. Toleration is savlanut. The ability, savlanut. Not patience. Savlan, a sabal, really, is somebody who carries something. So we think...
How much can you take?
Yeah, toleration. Maybe. How much can you take? How much energy do you have to bear a lot? Do you have to carry a heavy, heavy load? How much can you manage? Laziness. Laziness. Here's another one. Being lazy. Where are you lazy? Everybody has laziness, right?
There's laziness for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Household.
For sure. So you just have to think about your own self. Where are you lazy? And where are you lazy that you'd rather not be lazy?
After judgment.
After judgment, oh, laziness. We're up to, oh, no, I said toleration. Tolerance, sublanut.
So it's, what's sublanut?
It's really how much can you carry? What's your capacity to carry a heavy load? Okay, I'm going to try to. Okay. Tolerance is tolerating other people, having the space for other people's flaws or the society's flaws, or being able to tolerate differences, as opposed to toleration, which is your ability to carry a lot. Okay, we said laziness. Zrizut. In English, that's alacrity. I don't know. That's English, alacrity. Quick, quick, quick. Right, zrizut. To do something quickly. To do something quick. Do something right away. You had the thought, you do it, right? To act. It's zrizut. Zrizut means to act quickly. So it's to be quick in things, right?
What's the name of that? What is it called?
Zrizut. Zrizut. I don't know if you have the Uncle, not Uncle Moishi, Marvelous Midos machine.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I'll sing you the Zrizut song, right? Zrizim makdim min lemitzvos. All good deeds should be done right away. The Torah says we shouldn't shirk. Roll up your sleeves and get to work. Don't put off till tomorrow something you can do today. Right? Pardon? We should do it right away.
Yeah, without thinking.
It's not even without thinking. The reason why we should do it right away is because tuma attaches to space and time. So if you could make something happen without time, tuma can't attach to it. That's why we had to be released from Egypt like that. When we came out of Egypt, we had to come out instantly, keheref ayin, because it had to be in a space that didn't include space. The longer you make something, the bigger it becomes, the more tuma it can hold.
I don't know. I'm curious.
Yeah.
I think that also this tuma, it's also the goal is to work.
Yes, yes, yes. But one way you can work with it is by being quick, doing things right away. Because let's say an example of zrizut today would be you leave here and you know there's somebody you need to call. On your way out the door, you're on the phone with them saying, I am sorry. Why? Because if you wait till tonight or till tomorrow, the longer you wait, the harder it gets to pick up the phone. Right? So, right. So you want to do it. As soon as you're inspired, you have to do it right away. Doesn't mean you should leave right now. Okay. Okay, here's a depressing one for many and a fabulous one for some. Health of your body. Are you eating properly? Are you sleeping properly? Enough hours. Are you exercising properly?
What?
Exercise. Food. Sleep. Right? Are you doing that? That's what I said. Some people are going to love this question. Most people, not so much. Eating, sleeping, and exercise. How are you taking care of your body? Again, it's not goals right now, or you just have to assess yourself. Where are you holding? Right? Just to come into contact with it. Ahavat Yisrael, love of your fellow Jew. How are you feeling in that? Not love of the people that you love. Love of Jews because they're Jewish. When you see another Jew on the street, do you think, ah, a Jew, it's so nice to see you. I have a love for you because you're a Jew, right? Or do you just see them as another person?
Right.
That depends on the
New York.
But everybody's like in their thing and walking and walking and walking, and you're like, I better not.
Yeah, you have to go to Denver for that. In Denver, people say hi to each other. In New York, they don't. It depends on the community, but it doesn't mean it's the right thing. In New York, where people pass each other on the street, you could definitely feel unnoticed, unexisting.
And how do you feel?
Right, so here's the question is, how do you feel when you see somebody else? Right, right, right. And you feel it. Okay, good. So that's, you want to know how you feel. Right, so this is just assessing, how do you feel? Do you feel like your love of a fellow Jew is strong enough? That's the question. Seder, organization. How is your organization? Now, it's interesting to think Seder is one of the key qualities of God. He created everything with Seder and organization. This is not the time of year, just it's the time of year to look at it. It's not really the time of the year to work hard on Seder. That's Pesach time, right? When we have a Seder. And it really is, we have that Seder to help us work with organizing ourselves. Organizing, the Seder is the Passover meal, right? So to organize ourselves internally, it means order. It means order. And that is how we put some order into our lives, is through that meal. Should I stand over here? Sorry, because now I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, I'll stand here. Okay, good. Okay. Let's see. Cleanliness. 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 How clean are you? Just clean. This could be physically clean. Oh, this is fine. Thanks. It could be physically clean. Pardon? There's not. No, you could. I mean, how many are there? We're just doing like probably. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Probably 7 more. 7 or 8 more. It's not an exhaustive list. Just how are you? So this is really could be physical cleanliness, but really could be spiritual also. Humility. Anava, humility. How humble are you? You know, we have this concept that Torah flows like water, and water flows down. It doesn't flow up. So when you can be humble and make yourself lower, Torah can flow into you. But not just that, Torah is compared to water. Water has no shape of its own. It only has the shape of the vessel that it's in. So midot are character traits, but midot also means measurements. It's your shape, the shape of the vessel that you are. So that's why we want to work on our midot or examine our midot. We want to examine the shape of our vessel so that when Torah is poured into us, will it be beautiful or will it be ugly? That's part of the concept of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, that really manners, good behavior, precedes Torah. Because if you don't have good behavior, you can't hold it properly.
Only marvelous music.
Only what?
The Mina song is very nice. Maybe you want to sing it.
Right. Right, that's true. Yeah, you should get a Marvelous Midos machine. Even as adults, the Marvelous Midos machine recordings are great. Yeah, they're great. The songs are great. They're kids' songs, but they're very cute.
And we can all learn from them.
And they really we quote them still. Like if it's dark, we say, oh, it's like Hashem, it's Rayim. I have to go change the light bulb. Okay, anyway, it's part of cultural literacy to listen to Marvelous Midos Machine. Okay. Let's see. Tzedek. Tzedek is righteousness. I'm going to put tzedek and tzedakah together. It's the same root, tzedek and tzedakah. Tzedakah is not charity. Tzedakah is from the word justice. Right? So it's not that you're being kind when you give money. You're being right when you give money. God entrusted you with the money that you have, whatever amount it is, high or low, and it's the right thing to do for you to give a certain amount to others. It's not your kindness. It's rightness. That's what tzedakah is. But tzedek is righteousness. Right? So how right are you? How correct are you in your life, right? How righteous are you? OK, Okay, here's a tricky one for today's times. Yes. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. Yeah, it's a little different than honesty, yeah. We could do that one next. The next one, I have it in English, honesty, but really I have it as emet, truth. Emet, emet, right, truth. We know that God's seal is truth. He is a God of truth. That's one of the things that Jonah, complained to God about. When he was mad at God and he yelled at God, when he said, "It's so not fair that you didn't destroy this city of Nineveh. I'm so mad at you." This is what he said. He said, "God, I know you're Kel Rachum V'Chanun." We sing that, right? Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed V'Emet. Right? So what did he say? He said, "Hashem, you're Kel Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed V'Nichum Al Hara." So he was accusing God. He said, "You're not a God of truth. You're a God who changes your mind." Nihum al hara. Nihum means to change something. Right? Linachem means to shift. No, linachem. Nihum, nechama. Right? So when somebody feels nechama, consoled, what does that mean? They slightly change their perspective or greatly change their perspective. So when Hashem was nihum on what he did before the flood, he destroyed the world because he regretted it. It could also mean that. He changed his mind. So Jonah yells at God and says, "You're not a God of truth, like you said in Shemot, like you said through Moshe Rabbeinu. You're a God who changes your mind. That's who you are." He was so mad that he didn't destroy. And that's I learned this from Rabbi David Foreman. That's when Jonah didn't understand the concept of God being able to get up off the throne of justice and move over to the throne of Rachamim, right? He wanted that throne of justice, Rachamim, mercy. He wanted the throne of justice, truth. Absolute truth is justice, but absolute truth and absolute justice can be harsh, but it is absolutely true. So, it's consoling, but it also means to change your mind a little. When you're consoled, rather than feeling, you change your perspective. That's what creates the consolation. So that's really what it means.
Well, it's good to be able to change your perspective on some things.
Yes, 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 it is. However, Jonah was mad at God for changing his perspective on over. So what happened was God said to Jonah, he was very literal. He said, "I'm going to overturn the city." Jonah thought he meant physically overturn it, but the city instead overturned themselves by doing tshuva. So it's not that God was wrong.
They didn't turn.
It's that what Jonah understood wasn't right, right? So, but sometimes people are literal and they can even lie through the literal. So Jonah was accusing God of lying by being literal. Just like my kids when they were little, and I would say, "Did you brush your teeth?" They would say, "Yes." But I knew what they meant, so I would say, "Today," and they'd say, "Oh, no, not today." Right. Right, right. So, right, so honesty is, so truth and honesty is a question. So, let's say, okay, equanimity, which is menuchat hanefesh. Equanimity. Equanimity is the word equal, so it could be shalvat nefesh, that ability of your own
peace of mind.
It's sort of peace of mind, but it's your internal energy flow. Does it go like this? You get very excited and very angry, very upset and very happy, is it even? A little bit more predictable. Right, it does. Right, right. Right.
Right.
It's a balance. It is a balance. Balance. Equanimity. To be emotionally balanced. Emotionally balanced. Okay, I have two more. Tzniut. Tzniut is not how you cover up. Tzniut is how you quiet the voice of the physical so that you can hear the voice of the spiritual. It has to do with how you dress, what you read, how you drive, how you decorate your home, the jokes that you tell.
Can you be quiet the voice of the spiritual?
Quiet the voice of the physical so that you can hear the voice of the spiritual. That's what tzniut is. Quieting the voice of the physical so that you can hear the voice of the spiritual. Pardon? It's not compromise. It's not compromise. No, we have a body and a soul, and they each have their own voice, and the voice of the body is very, very loud, and the voice of the soul whispers. But it's the soul that we really want to hear, because the body we leave behind, right? After 120 years, our body returns to the earth, but our soul continues on. So we wouldn't want the body's voice to be the voice that's in charge. We want the soul's voice to be the voice that's in charge. But the voice of the body speaks louder. So we have to work on it to quiet that voice so that we can hear the voice of the spiritual.
So that can be done physically with everything.
It has to be done with everything.
Take too much notice.
Yes. Yes. So that's why I say it's not covering up. What if I cover up with a tight leopard outfit and, you know, the longest shetel and tons of makeup and high shoes, and I was 50 pounds lighter, right? And I was walking through the room, so I would be turning every head. It's totally the voice of the physical screaming, even though I'd be completely covered, right? You don't want the voice of the physical screaming or even talking loudly. So it's not just how you cover, it's how you present yourself altogether. Even those people who aren't willing to wear the uniform of the religious Jew, you know, long and high, and they still can think about how are they using the voice of the physical in their lives, and how much are they listening to that as opposed to the voice of the spiritual. So it is something to think about. Which voice takes precedence, and how can you quiet the voice of the physical? And the final one is the final word that we're going to talk about for now, and this is not an exhaustive list. These are just things to think about. The final word is mothering. Mother.
Mother.
How do you say it? I know how you say it. Mama, right? Mothering as a verb. This does not have to do... Yes, but it does not have to do with you being a mother, because there are people in this room who are not mothers, right? It's not about that. Chava was called Eim Kol Chai, the mother of all life, before she ever had a child. It is part of the feminine energy to give a mothering energy to the world. So how are you doing, not just mothering your children, it's an attitude, but it's also a way of giving, it's a giving with a goal of development. Yeah? What's the giving? Giving to develop. So it might be, I mean, mothering can be expressed in so many different ways. Mothering could be expressed in so many different ways. It could be... Well, it could be feeding people. It could be spiritual sustenance. Well, there's so many ways. So I'll just give you a few examples. You might be driving on a country road and see an animal that's injured, right? You might stop the car and move the animal or care for the animal. That's mothering, right? You might have a maid in your house that, somebody just told me the story today, somebody who had a very young maid who was making big mistakes with her boyfriend. It wasn't the Balabusta's job, really, to give her advice, right, about her life. And yet, as a mother, how could she stop? She would want to share with her, you know, if you make different choices, your life will be different. Let me share with you. That's a giving. But that could be with a college friend also. It is a caring with an intent to help and to help that person become who they are. It's not about you. right? You're not helping that animal because of you. You're not helping that maid because of you. It's because of them, right, that you want to help them. That's mothering, giving to them because of them.
Okay, so the one that I thought that maybe, but I don't know exactly, but I feel like, and a very important thing is also expressiveness. Because sometimes mm-hmm. a person mm-hmm. feels a lot of ways, but if they don't express it, it just right. stays in there.
So communication, let's call it communication. How well do you communicate with those who are around you and even with yourself? That's what part of this is about, is communicating with yourself. Okay, now that you've just thought about yourself a little bit, we want to think about what is your life purpose. Not your short-term goal and not your long-term goal, but your life's purpose. I'm going to find my paper and I'll read you mine so that you can get an idea. Mine is way too long. Mine is way too long. I had to do a part A and a part B. And really, it should be shorter than this. But I'll just read you mine so you can hear what it is, okay? I'm trying to make it shorter. So I think I shortened it. I was working on it on the plane because I can't ask you to do work that I'm not doing, right? So my shortened goal is Jewish empowerment through education, transformation of self, Jewish people, and the world. That's my shortened goal. I'll read it again. I'll read it again, and then I'll read you my longer one so you can hear what it looks like. I've been working on this for a few years. My life goal, my personal one, is Jewish empowerment, that's empowering Jews, through education to transform self, the Jewish people, and the world. That's my shortened one. I'll read you how I had it last year. So I have a goal and a means. So my goal is to help Jews discover, embark upon, and continue walking on a deep, clear, positive path to transform individuals and humanity, thereby bringing humankind to its ultimate fruition. Okay, that's my goal. And my means is to educate and inspire others to connect to God, self, and other Jews and the rest of humanity through example, teaching, and writing. Okay, that's my personal yiyud. Yiyud. Yiyud means destination. It's the same root as moed. And what else is it? Same root as? It's yaad is a destination, where you're headed. So that's what we want, is your personal yiyud, your life's destination. As you hear, it's a big goal, not a small goal. It's not something you want to accomplish right now. It's what you could measure everything by. If I want to go to graduate school, I should look at this and say, will graduate school help me accomplish this? Will having another child help me accomplish this? Will making myself available for my grandchildren help me accomplish this? Will publishing that book help me accomplish this? Everything can be measured by this goal. So that's what you want to try to figure out, is what is your huge life goal? Okay, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. We'll get much more specific. But I also want to talk about what your major flaw that gets in the way. Major flaw. Your major big part of you that's bad, that gets in the way. Your tikkun. So for me, flaw. Flaw. How do you say defecto? Yeah, defect, right. My personal, I'm just sharing with you my personal stuff here. My personal major flaw is lack of seder, lack of organization. I'm all over the place. So here's my tikkun, how I wrote it. To emulate Hashem by creating seder in my mind, in my life, and in my environment. Okay, so I realized as I looked at this later that I made it spiritual and I wasn't looking at myself really. Because it shouldn't be to emulate Hashem, which is something I love to do. It should be creating Seder, which is something I hate to do, right? So really, I have to take that part off and say, to create Seder in my mind, in my life, in my environment. That's my tikkun. I have to create Seder, right? And then I wrote myself a little note, lack of Seder is an impediment. Lack of follow-through, lack of strength in saying no to self and others, and in not taking on unreasonable amounts of work and purpose. Right? I have a big goal. It's very easy for me to say, yes, 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 I'll do it all because I have a big goal and I want to make it all happen. But when I say yes to too many things, I can't accomplish anything. So that's my tikkun. Okay, so that's what we want to start with right now. Your personal yud, your destination, life destination, and you can think about what's the one thing that keeps coming up for you? What's constantly getting in your way? It might be anger. It might be patience. It might be self-esteem. Right? What's your major big piece that keeps getting in the way of your ability to accomplish your, might be arrogance, your main mission? Okay, you ready to start thinking about your main mission? Yeah? You're not ready to think about it. No?
Maybe next year.
No.
Maybe next year.
Ready or not? Yud, right. The root is Yud, Ayin, Dalad. Ya'ad, Yud here, it's Yud, Ayin, Vav, Dalad. Yud, is that right? Yud. I'm a little dyslexic, so the Vav and the Ayin could be mixed. I don't know.
What does it mean?
Destination. But in this, it's your personal destination, your life's goal. Where are you headed?
How you can decide.
Oh yeah, that's where we're going.
How you can decide the purpose of your life because...
Yeah, that's where we're going right now. That's it. That's what we're doing. I just gave you this example. Okay.
Just what is the difference between the big one and the altitude?
Okay. I gave you my example so you could hear an example. I'm going to help you figure out yours right now. I have lots of questions to ask you for you to start thinking about it. And I wanted to do this now before lunch, A, because some people are leaving, but B, you should talk amongst yourselves, as they say. I don't know if they say that in Spanish. You should be able to talk over lunch with your friends. What do you think? What's yours? What's mine? How can I work this out? This takes conversation. It might come up very clear for you, and it might not. So you might need to ask some more questions. So we're going to...
Could you have more than one? Like many faults?
You could have one major fault. It's really one major. It's your major area. Your fault is one major thing that just keeps coming up again and again and again. It's the thing just gets in your way all the time. All the time, whatever that is. That might be easier for you to think of than your yield. Yeah.
And life purpose also just one? I understand it's one big one, but if you have like two big ones?
Some people are tikkun people. Some people are in a very difficult place in their life with so many hard things that they're working on that they can't really look at a goal. And so those people, and tikkun people, it's not usually a lifetime thing. Tikkun is your major correction from your biggest defect that you have. But some people have so many, not necessarily inner defects, but so many difficult things. Let's say somebody's getting divorced and they have a child with mental illness and they don't have much money and their parents are sick and they live in a country that, right? They have so much going on that they really cannot possibly think about anything else but staying alive, right? That's really it for them. Just coping with what they're carrying. That doesn't usually last a lifetime, although it's possible that somebody is a tikkun person for life. In general, it's a stage. A tikkun person, so somebody who has to just work on fixing things rather than going forward. You know, somebody whose job it is to stay afloat, to tread water, as opposed to swimming forward, right? So your tikkun is usually what you're pulling while you're swimming forward, and it pulls you back, it holds you back. If you could let go of it, you could swim much faster. But some people are carrying so much that they can't even think of swimming forward. All they could do is keep their head above water, and that's it, right? So that's not most people, but it could be a stage. So it's possible that some people are in a stage of tikkun only, because they're carrying too much to move forward. But most people have the opportunity to move forward in some way, and so they want that destination. Could you have more than one destination? It can't be more than one destination, because you have to walk on a certain path to get there. So you can't walk on two paths at the same time. But if you have two strong things, I hear, but that's why it's destination. No, that's different. That's not what we're talking about. No, that comes later. No, your personal destination, that everything fits inside. Everything fits inside this personal destination. So if you have a few things you feel strongly about, you've got to write a sentence that includes the whole thing. Okay, so how do they work together?
A paragraph.
No, you can't have a paragraph. Because I'll just tell you, after lunch, we are going to work on 12 areas of life balance. I'll just read it to you so you know. You don't have to include this, okay? So we're going to talk about cheshbon, which is calculating, what we've been doing today, thinking about things. How will you include that in your life on a regular basis? We're going to talk about learning.
How much? What?
Learning. What kind of learning do you want to include in your life on a regular basis? This is to balance your life, right? We're serving Hashem. How do you do that? And for everybody, it's their own personal thing. Character traits and emotions. How are you working with them? Your spouse and children. If you don't have a spouse, how are you going to work on getting a spouse? If you don't have children, how are you going to work on getting children? Or whose other children will you adopt? Or how you're dealing with the children in your... Sorry, I'm speaking too quickly.
Yeah, because we're writing
it. Yeah, don't write it down now. I'm just want to tell you. Okay, spouse and children. I personally wrote the name of each one of them here. You can see all of this for me fits on one paper, and you have to make the whole thing fit on one, really, because it has to be something you can look at. It should not be a notebook full.
Smaller print.
Not too small. Mine might be 11 font, but it should be 12. Okay. Okay? Interpersonal relationships, that's outside of your spouse and children. Health is number 7. 8 is...
No, health, you can't control that. That's...
No. Health is how you control your health.
Yes.
8 is financial, how you control financial. 9 is professional concerns, how you are behaving at work, if you have work, if you work outside of the home. Or if you were, and even and, or if you work outside of the home. 10 is domestic arts.
Domestic what?
Domestic arts.
Arts.
The art of running a home. Right? Whether you're single or married, attached to a large family, or living on your own, there still is something about running the environment in which you live.
Right.
So how is that going for you? Right? We're going to talk about that. This is where you will be setting goals.
Please, can we make an effort?
Yeah.
Our comments, just keep them, because we can't hear.
Right.
Sorry.
These are areas where you're not just reviewing like we did before. These are areas where you will set concrete goals for this year in each one of these areas. 11 is physical concerns. So I'll just give you an example of that, but we'll go through it later. But for those who are taking notes for soon. So physical concerns are actual, not your body, but for instance, I had a crack in my windshield. I was being lazy to replace it. It's a physical concern. I have to fix my windshield, make time for that. The trees needed to be trimmed. The vents in the kitchen needed to be fixed. Just a few things on my list of physical things that needed attention that aren't my body. And global and community concerns. Global and community concerns. So it, really the definition is up to you. Global might include Darfur. Maybe it's important to you to work with women in Darfur, so you're going to give money or something like that.
But is it very bad that you still have to do that?
You need to look at this list and think what you do or don't. You could write next to this,
not this year. But you have community concerns, something, right? Your shul, how do you participate in it? Right? Or your school? Are you involved in the PTA? Do you serve on a board? Do you, whatever, anything that you do that helps the community? Do you organize a shiur? Do you host a shiur? Something. How do you invest in your world and in your community? Okay, so those are the 12 areas of life balance. And the final thing on the sheet that we're going to get to, Be'ezrat Hashem, after lunch, is your yearly direction. So the direction for this year, the way that you want to walk this year. You have a big goal, but this year, the small part of your big goal that you want to work on is blank. Whatever that is. We'll talk about it after lunch. Okay, so now we want to talk about how will you figure out your yield. Okay, so now you're going to have to create some space inside your mind so that answers can float up. Answer from your intuitive self, not from your analytical self. Don't think too much. Let the answer pop into your head. Okay, if you can. Okay, you just inherited $10 million to give away. Where will you give it?
The whole
$10 million, you don't get to keep a penny.
You have to give it to one place?
Nope, you can give it wherever you want. You can divide it into 5 2s, 2 5s, 7 3, whatever you want. 10 1s, 1 10. Where do you want to give that? And why? No, where do you want to give it, and why do you want to give it there? You need to think about it. This will help you think about what's important to you. You have $10 million to give away. Where are you giving it, and why are you giving it there?
You want an answer?
You can write it down, yeah. Okay, ready for the next question? Yeah, you should be thinking about it. It's going to help you find the theme of what's the most important thing, too. It depends on how long it takes you. You might need more paper. Okay. Here's the next question for you to think about what's really important to you. Everything in your life is taken care of. Everything is done. And you have 4 extra hours a day, every single day. What do you want to do with those 4 hours? Four hours extra every day. Everything's taken care of. Your kids are taken care of. Your money is earned. Your house is clean. Your husband is happy. You've dated enough. Whatever your concerns are, you've done it all. And now you have 4 extra hours every single day. How do you want to spend your, and you're rested. Yes. Because it's every single day. How do you want to spend those 4 hours every single day? If you had your own free time to do with what you really want to do. You could write a few things, but don't write more than 3. Okay, I'm going to ask the same question in a slightly different way. After the plane flies over. Yeah. Okay. If you have, this is not question number 3. You have enough time, enough money, enough energy, and everybody in your life agrees with you, what do you want to do? You have the money to do it. What do you want to do? What do you really want to do if you have enough time to do it? And you have enough money to do it? And you have enough energy to do it, and everybody in your life agrees with you. Your mom thinks this is a great idea, your husband thinks it's a great idea, your sister thinks it's a great idea. You have enough money to pay for it, you have enough time to do it. What do you want to do?
Go
No, it's not.
No, that's interesting. You mind what first pops into your head?
Yeah, it really should try to be intuitive. I mean, just try to, like, what is that thing that you wish you could do? Now, it's true. For some people, we haven't really thought about what we want to do for so long that it's not there. It's really buried. So that's what I'm asking in a few different ways. Really what I'm asking is, how will you spend your time and resources to accomplish what you really want to accomplish? It has to be something you feel passionately about, something that makes your heart sing. What thrills you? What excites you? So that's another question. What energizes you? What gives you a lot of energy? Not a nap. Besides sleep, what activity gives you a lot of energy?
Get them motivated. What motivates you? Is that the same thing?
No, it's not the same thing, what motivates you. Because I'll give you, for instance, what excites you? What gives you energy, though? Like, so sometimes on a Shabbos afternoon, I have guests, right? Sometimes I want to take a nap. I need that for more energy. Or depending who's there, and particularly depending on how much they want to learn something Jewish, I get a lot of energy from staying up and learning with that person. Right? What gives you energy? Yeah, the sun is very strong. Okay. Ready for the next question?
Yes.
When do you feel like yourself the most? This is a hard question because a lot of people don't feel themselves. And sometimes we're so out of touch with ourselves that we don't even know who we are. Feel yourself. When do you feel like you're you? When you're doing something, you feel the most you that you feel. What is that thing that you do? When you do it, you feel most like you. Right? You could even think, what would your kids say? You know, oh, that's such an Ima thing to do. Right? Because it's so you. Right? What is that thing that's so you that you could identify it as so you? Yes, it is. It's just to help you. For sure. It's an action or a thinking. It's usually being involved in something.
When do you feel most like yourself?
The most like yourself. Okay. Now I'll ask you a little bit easier question because I'm going to give you hints. What are your greatest strengths? What are the things that you're strongest at? Where are your areas of real strength? So I'm going to read you a short list and you can just think about. You might have an answer right now where you're really strong, something you're really good at, but I'm going to read you some things for you to think about. What are you really good at? Acceptance. Awe.
What?
Awe. Yira. Or feeling awe. Really, I should have somebody read this in Spanish. Who wants to read this list, Andrea? You want to read this list in Spanish? Because I do have a list for you just to think about what you're really good at.
All of these?
Yeah.
Aceptación.
Go slowly. Good.
Acceptance. Awe, which is.
I can read it in English. Read it in Spanish.
There's English and Spanish.
Okay.
Celebración. Celebration. Creatividad. Creativity.
Comfort in pain. Comforting. So you want me to read it in English or do you want to do it in Spanish?
Yeah.
Comforting somebody who's in pain.
Okay.
What are you good at comforting? Consoling.
Consolar. I'm not in the best form.
Okay, sorry. No problem. You go back to your list. You're a very intense worker. Does somebody else want to read in Spanish?
I'll read it in English. Do you want to read it in Spanish, or should I read it? Okay. I'm gonna say it in English. Shh. Okay. What are you really good at? Commitment, committing to things. Connection. Contribution.
Not just money.
Contributing to whatever it is. Are you good at contributing? Courage. Curiosity. Dedication. Elevation, bringing things up. Endurance, being long-lasting, being able to do something for a long time. Endurance.
No,
endurance. It's different than perseverance. Endurance is more like the sablanut that we talked about, toleration.
Something
is taking very long, and you can do it. You can stick with it for a long time. Faith.
It's like continuity.
Faith?
Endurance.
It's staying though for a long time. It's stick-to-itiveness. It's zitzfleisch, really. Generosity. Grace. Grace is chen. Gratitude. Gratitude. Growth. Growing. You're a growing person. You're good at helping others grow. You're good at growing yourself. Harmony. Honesty. Humility. Being humble. Imagination. Inspiration. You're not supposed to write them all down. You're supposed to think, what are you really good at? Just write down the ones that hit you as you're really good at this. You don't have to. You could write the whole list if you want, but you don't need to. It's what you're really good at. Pick from this list what you are really good at. Just write what you're really good at. This is not a cheshbon nefesh. This is suggestions for you to think about what you are really good at. Inspiration. Initiative, which means starting projects.
I'm finishing
or not? Just starting. Initiative is starting. Integrity, that's honesty and integrity. Joy. Justice. Discipline. Understanding. Perfection in performance. Oneness.
Perfection
in performance. Oneness or unity. Goodness. Freedom.
Goodness is like kindness.
Yeah. I think you could figure it. You don't have to worry about the definition because this is you. I'm trying to trigger in you. Yeah. Oh, I'm really good at that. Yes. It could be whatever you write down. Yeah, whatever you think. Sanctity, which is holiness. Sanctity. Self-expression. Simplicity. Spirituality. Sweetness.
What?
Sweetness. You're still writing all of them down.
Yes.
Well, think about yourself. I can email you the list. You don't have to write it down. But I want you to think about yourself. This for later homework. I want you to come up with something right now, okay? So think about what you're good at. Motherhood. Music. Modesty.
What?
Modesty. It's mute. Modesty. Passion. Patience. Love. Loyalty.
leadership, chesed, or loving kindness. Play.
Play?
Play. Are you really good at playing? Listening. Prayer. Peace. Surrender. Vision. Balance. Order. Nobility. Tranquility. That's enough hints. You should have something written down now. Pick three of those that you think that you're really good at. That you're really good at. I went out of order. Tranquility, maybe? Okay, so these are things that you're really good at. You're going to be able to draw a theme out of these answers as you're writing for yourself. What fills you the most with enthusiasm when you talk about it? A subject somebody could wake you up in the middle of the night and you could start talking about it because you love it.
Not lashon
hara. It might be lashon hara. My grandmother had napkins that said, "I never repeat gossip, so listen carefully the first time." You should know yourself. Like, what turns you on? What excites you? What fills you with the most enthusiasm when you talk about that subject? What subject is it? What are you like when you shine your brightest? When you are shining, you're in your moment. This is totally you. You're absolutely doing the thing that you are best at. What are you like? What do you look like then? Just think about what you are like then. And now, where are you?
Can you repeat your questions?
Which questions?
The people know, the one before.
I don't know.
When you shine.
Okay, so. What are you like when you shine? Right. And then, what environment are you in that makes you shine like that? Why are you shining so brightly?
Why?
You first want to envision yourself shining, right? You're totally you. You're absolutely at your best place, doing the thing you're best at, the thing that makes you the brightest, the most alive. What is that thing? What is that? Who is feeling like they're getting a theme, sort of, about what they're good at, what they love to do, what makes them alive? You feeling like you're getting that? Anybody else? Or people feel like you need more questions? More hints? More things to help you? Okay.
Can you my sister
It's something that you, I mean, you might have
to... to be impulsive, and that we should know.
It should be impulsive. It sometimes does take more work. If it's not just bubbling up, it will take some work. But you have to give it space to bubble up, too. But, so that's why I'm asking the questions. But sometimes you
do... No, but really, one of the most important things in all this is honesty. Because I can tell you, I think I'm a certain way. And my sister says, you are so not like that. Oh, I know!
Right. Right, that's why it's good. Good to have sisters who can be honest with you. Okay, let's see. Looking back from the end of your life, looking backwards at your life from the last day. What?
From the final last day or from now?
No, the last day. It's now the end of your life, right? The end of 120 years.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
We should all live long and be healthy.
Amen.
What do we want people to say about us?
Thank you.
Yeah? What was our life about? Other people are going to get up and talk about us. What are they going to say? You know what my husband wants people to say at his funeral? Look! It's going to be asked in different ways. They're not... All these questions are to help you look at yourself from different angles so that you can winnow out extra stuff and figure out what's your core essence. What are you meant to bring to the world?
Is there